The views and discussion expressed on this program are for general information only and do not necessarily represent those of the host of the program or that of Faith and Friends Radio, its staff and management. Discussion of specific points and general topics on this program are not meant to be taken as specific professional advice. Please check with your doctor on these issues.
Welcome to Your Holistic Health on Faith and Friends Radio. Your host is Dr. Kathy Rosenbaum of RX Integrative Solutions. Stay tuned as we examine different aspects of holistic wellness. Here's your host, Dr. Kathy Rosenbaum.
Hello and welcome to Your Holistic Health, coming to you live from the studios of Faith and Friends Radio in Dayton, Ohio. This is your host, Dr. Kathy Rosenbaum, holistic clinical pharmacist of RX Integrative Solutions. On today's program, we'll be talking with Julie Van Arsdell of the Spice and Tea Exchange in Cincinnati about the healing powers of tea. Each week, Your Holistic Health presents evidence-based practical tips on how to integrate body, mind, and spiritual principles into everyday living. We'll turn to Scripture to give us perspective on every discussion focused on wellness and prevention, because we believe that God is a central part of the healing process. In the news this week is some really interesting information about red foods, and it's a red, white, and blue month and season with the election coming up, so I thought this would be kind of fun. Here's three to consider. Not necessarily my favorites, but I'm trying. Beets, tart cherries, and red cabbage. Red beets are a source of betalain, an antioxidant, an anti-inflammatory, and something that might have anti-cancer properties. And beets are also rich in folic acid. Tart cherries bring a bright color that comes from a product called anthocyanins, or again, antioxidants and anti-inflammatories, and might have cardiovascular benefits. They also could be aligned with reduced exercise, muscle, and joint pain. So tart cherries, another good red food. And finally, red cabbage. This vegetable is loaded with anthocyanins, again an antioxidant just like with the beets, and vitamin C. And cabbage can also lower cholesterol levels. So there you have it. Red, white, and blue. Tonight, the focus is on red foods for better health. Now it's time to introduce our guest. Julie Van Arsdell was raised in Connecticut, the Nutmeg State, and she left corporate America in 2010 to run the Spice and Tea Exchange in Cincinnati, where she's been for the last 2.5 years. We thank her for being our guest, and welcome, Julie, to Your Holistic Health.
Thank you, Kathy, for having me.
Well, I understand there are many different types of teas, and I think it would be fascinating to give our listeners just a little bit of history in terms of those different types, which come from Camellia sinensis, and I understand the very same evergreen shrub. Who would have guessed? Is that true?
That is true. Tea is always coming from that same bush or in some cases, a tall tree. What makes each tea different is the way that it's processed. And tea can be placed kind of in 5 major groups based on the amount of processing that goes into each one of those final products. And we're going to put herbal teas off to its own category. So one that everyone's pretty familiar with is black tea. This tea goes through the most processing. Once the leaves are picked, they are left out in the sun to become slightly wilted. The leaves are then rolled to break open their tissues. During the fermentation, the leaves darken, and they change from a beautiful green to red to finally black. And China is probably one of the strongest areas of where you can find black tea. Green tea is considered to be the most natural tea. This is because no fermentation is done on the leaves, and the leaves remain soft until the drying stage. Oolong tea, like black tea, goes through kind of the same withering stage, which is called wilting. And the difference is that oolong tea goes through a shorter stage and leaves are fired directly after that to prevent any continuation of that fermentation. Now, the white teas are very, very interesting. It is the least processed of any of the teas, resulting in a beautiful, mild, smooth flavor, and usually has no bitterness, and has a little bit of a sweeter finish. Like green tea, it is not fermented. And white tea was named because of little specks of white hairs that cover the leaf buds. Now, what has been gaining a lot of popularity is pu'er, and I love the name pu'er. Reminds me of Pooh Bear. And that actually is coming from the Yunnan province in South China, and it is fermented after processing and then aged. So it's a whole different way of actually processing the tea. This is the only tea that is intentionally aged, and we have quite a few pu'er teas at our store. And then the last is obviously the herbal teas, which really does not contain any tea leaves at all, but it's a beautiful blend of various herbs, flowers, spices, and lots of other natural products that are steeped in hot water and served the same way as tea.
I think what's really fascinating is that the plant kingdom has such perfection for many different reasons, for nutritional reasons, for aesthetic reasons, for healing and health reasons, all of the above. And we have underutilized this incredible resource in this country, in my humble opinion. Do you agree?
I do agree. A lot of people want to know where do we harvest tea here in the United States? And it's an art that I think really needs to come to the States, just like how we brought grapes for wine, and look at how much growth has come from that. It would be wonderful to see the same thing happen with tea.
I agree. You know, there's a popular trend or a movement coming about in this country that involves homegrown herbs, and I love that. I think every family ought to try that at some level. And there are some health benefits. We're going to talk about those in just a few minutes. But for now, let's just focus on the white, green, black, oolong, pu'er teas. And tell me, surely there must be some flavor differences, if not nutritional differences, among the loose leaf combinations, which you make, I understand, customized at your shop, versus the proprietary bags. What do you think about that?
There's a huge difference. Fresh loose leaf teas provide a great deal more taste, aroma, economy, antioxidants, and the pleasure that steeping those that you don't get from those tiny little bits of stale tea dust that's really packaged in bags.
Tea dust? Is that like moon dust?
Tea dust.
Oh, tea dust. Okay.
Tea dust, yes. Tea used in tea bags is generally the dust from tea leaves. This represents a tremendous compromise in quality. When you have finely broken tea leaves and dust, they've lost their essential oils. The remaining tannins are rapidly released when the bag is brewed, and the resulting flavor, quite honestly, is bitter. And you hear some people say that their tea is bitter, and that's really coming from what's really the remnants of the teas in a tea bag. If you compare the aroma of steeping a pot of loose leaf tea to one steeped with tea bags, you can tell the difference immediately. Bags are usually, generally, they're mass-produced. Often the leaves contain a bag that have been picked, processed, and packaged by a machine. In contrast, when you're looking at loose-leaf teas, they are hand-selected. So tea is a product of nature. It's picked and processed seasonally, and many teas go stale within a year. So when you're buying a tea from a reputable tea merchant, you're sure that you're going to get only that tea that has been purchased and of that year's crop. You can't get that as a guarantee with tea bags that maybe have been on the shelf or in a warehouse for a long time.
Well, I would venture a guess that most people don't monitor the dating of their proprietary tea bags in their pantries. And well, they should, if in fact they're using them for medicinal purposes. But certainly, flavor notwithstanding, once again, what I find utterly just awe-inspiring is the recurrent theme of health in many different types of teas, again, coming from the same plant as we first recognized, but all over nature, including the herbs this time, the recurrent themes are antioxidants. For example, you mentioned green tea. Green tea has a lot of flavonoids. That's just one category of antioxidants, of which there are thousands. So many times people come to me and they say, well, how much vitamin C, how much vitamin E, how much CoQ10 am I supposed to be taking? And the answer is, start drinking teas. Start looking at Mother Nature for those answers. Start looking at the food kingdom and you'll have a healthier approach to life. One other fun fact with green tea is that it contains a relaxing constituent called L-theanine. That's T-H-E-A-N-I-N-E. It's a great beverage to be taken before bedtime if you use it in a decaffeinated form. Now, Julie, let's talk about the custom of having high tea, which I think is terribly highbrow. But I have been known to put a boa on and some gloves and a hat and go enjoy tea with my girlfriend. So I'm guilty. And I think it's a wonderful custom, honestly. Is it starting to catch on in this country?
Absolutely. Absolutely. And I think really it's because of the increase of maybe more formalized tea houses that are starting to really take shape in the U.S., and the greater Cincinnati area is a good example, because there's quite a few really nice tea houses that we have. But high tea is kind of a little bit of a misnomer. You know, most people refer to that afternoon tea as high tea because they think it's regal, it's lofty, when in actuality, high tea, or what the English would call meat tea, is for dinner. High tea in Britain, at any rate, tends to be a little bit more on the heavier side. Us Americans, in the hotels and the tea rooms, on the other hand, we've kind of continued to misunderstand that by offering like little tidbits of fancy pastries and cakes and delicate china, and that's what we're referring to as a high tea. Actually, afternoon tea, because it's usually done in the afternoon, which is also called a low tea, is very popular because it's usually taken in a sitting room or what they call withdrawing room, where there are low tables, like little coffee tables, placed next to sofas or chairs. That's what I've experienced when I've gone to any hotels, and in a nice large kind of withdrawing table. And with those afternoon teas, you'll get scones and jam and sweets and nice little savories. And who wouldn't want to do that late in the afternoon?
Well, I'm not going to comment upon that from a health perspective, but it certainly is tempting because it's the dinner hour. And after we come back from break, I'm going to ask you a little bit more about what types of questions we should ask our tea connoisseurs, manufacturers, and distributors. If you're just joining our show, this is Your Holistic Health. Tonight we're talking with Julie Van Arsdale of the Spice and Tea Exchange in Cincinnati, Ohio. We're going to take a short break, and we'll be right back.
Your Holistic Health is brought to you by RX Integrative Solutions. Many Americans are taking prescription medications and wish they could find a way to take less. 42% of us have tried some type of complementary or holistic practice, including vitamins and other dietary supplements. Dr. Kathy Rosenbaum of RX Integrative Solutions provides personalized consultations to review your prescription medications and dietary supplements and helps you find a simpler, back-to-basics way to health. She'll work in partnership with your primary care physician. For more information or to sign up for a consultation, visit rxintegrativesolutions.com. That's rxintegrativesolutions.com.
We're back, and you're listening to a broadcast of Your Holistic Health on Faith and Friends Radio. I'm Dr. Kathy Rosenbaum, and tonight we're talking with Julie Van Arsdale of the Spice and Tea Exchange in Cincinnati about the healing benefits of tea. So, Julie, before the break, we began to think a little bit about questions that wise consumers, I guess I'll say, should be asking you and of other vendors of tea, especially when buying fresher teas or loose leaf teas. And tell us a little bit about how to be a savvy shopper.
Well, as I mentioned earlier, tea is a product of nature. It's picked and processed seasonally, and many teas go stale within a year. So that's probably one of the first things that you need to get a good understanding of when you're actually at a tea house. I mean, what we buy and enjoy things through our eyes and our nose, and so you can really tell some of the differences there when you go to specific shops. So when you're buying tea and looking at buying from a reputable merchant, you're always assured that it's going to be only purchasing this year's crop. And like any other partnership, you know, if you want to know a little bit more about the supplier or the manufacturer of the tea, understand maybe how long they've been in business. What is he or she's knowledge of tea? Now you can get masters of tea, and a lot of people study that and are really doing that so that they can really bring some of the great benefits of tea, to the public. With all the increase in consumer studies that are out there, what's the reputation of that particular supplier, that manufacturer, that distributor? And where are their products sold? We happen to work with a fabulous supplier. It's Rishi Tea out of Minnesota. They've been in business for over 14 years. They do a lot of our custom blends for us. They're very hands-on, and they've been hands-on in the very beginning. They do master blending and flavoring in-house, so the freshness is extraordinary. They think about the health of the farmer and the consumer as well, and they do promote a sustainable tea for future generation, of course, supporting the fair trade market. So you can see a lot of that on some of the different types of jars or canisters, et cetera, that you might be buying, from a tea house or even from any of the specialty grocery stores that we have around town.
All right, so to recap, we've discussed the fact that there are roughly five different categories of teas. We talked about the fermenting process being one of the deciding differences among them: white, black, oolong, green, and pu'er, one of your favorites. How about if we switch gears now and we're going to talk a bit about herbal teas and some of their medicinal benefits? But before we do that, I want to share with our listeners a favorite scripture of mine because it points to where herbs originated. We gave the country of China for the teas that we just discussed, but I'm going to go to scripture this round and look at Genesis 1:11. And God said, "Let the earth bring forth grass, the herb yielding seed, and the fruit tree yielding fruit after his kind, whose seed is in itself upon the earth." And it was so. And I do believe that herbs have a long history. And so I like to think about sort of, again, the sustainability of herbs as we have with teas, as you just mentioned. And in terms of their medicinal effects, fascinating read. I encourage everyone to get more education on this particular topic if you're interested. For example, upset stomach, people can use ginger, which is a root. They can use rosemary. Fennel is something that actually is known to stimulate digestion. The seeds can be ground to release volatile oils and help with digestion, unless you have liver or gallbladder problems, I might add. We have headache teas, such as lavender, which also is wonderful for insomnia, and it has a lovely fragrance. I'd like for you to comment, Julie, on the use of flowers, perhaps along with these herbs, or the teas, because I've had some delicious combinations from your shop in the past, and I'm sure others would value that information.
Yeah, herbal teas are just fun.
aren't they?
They're actually just infusions of beautiful dried leaves and seeds and grass and nuts and barks and fruits and flowers and all great little botanical types of elements. And You know, we do have a beautiful selection of herbal teas. I think one of the best things about herbal tea is the fact that there's no caffeine, and I think that's I get quite a few people that come into the store that are now starting to have issues with caffeine, even from drinking from coffee now to getting into black teas, and we've started them into herbal teas. The flavors, are, you know, they're, you name some beautiful herbs to go with herbal tea, which we have quite a few culinary types of herbs that we do suggest people to add to any of the teas that we have. But, you know, like aniseed, you know, that's a beautiful one. It's great for digestion, freshens the breath. Chamomile has everything that's been those calming properties that we've had since I think we were little, and some wonderful anti-inflammatory. You already mentioned ginger, which I give ginger to my dog because he gets
does he have heartburn?
Yeah, car sickness.
Really?
Uh-huh. And not that I'm giving them tea, but I do give them, we've got beautiful candied ginger that a lot of people do actually put into our teas because it's got the sugar in there, which they really like. Lemongrass is very calming. But I think the nice thing about herbal teas, it has the commonality of kind of being that tea that people are starting to drink in the afternoon and at nighttime, and it's those relaxing elements that you're gonna sit down, you're gonna let the day kind of pass by, you're gonna relax, you're going to brew your water, and then you're gonna be able to smell all the beautiful fragrances that an herbal tea gives you, knowing that you can, you know, drink it with no caffeine, so it hopefully will not affect you as you kind of close down the day and start into the evening. And and the whole ritual of brewing an herbal tea is, I think, one of the best meditations you can ever have.
That's a great summary. You talked about chamomile, or chamomile, however you wish to pronounce, as being something to help with upset stomach. It also has a benefit in terms of difficulty sleeping. It carries with it a relaxing constituent. I did mention lavender earlier. Lavender, interestingly, has over 160 different types of active constituents. We think was used in Egyptian times during the mummification process for perfumery. And the flowers and frankly, the whole plant is something that's become very, very popular in the United States now for many different reasons. So, again, it's so much fun to explore the usages of these different herbs, and not to forget that some of them are also fine as spices.
Yes.
So let's talk about how one uses loose leaf teas very quickly, and how do you make a tea or an infusion, please?
Well, in just brewing, it's pretty simple. There's really only we kind of call it kind of six steps to brewing tea. Of course, our teas come with, as we say, no strings attached, so they're all loose teas. So they require a tea infuser. And that can be something as simple as an infusing tea ball that have been around since our great-great-grandmothers, to some of, you know, a beautiful teapot where you can make multiple cups. And all of those we have at the store in all shapes and sizes. But really, there's just six simple steps to brewing. You get a cup. You drop an infuser and some tea into it. Add hot water and steep. You remove, and you enjoy.
All right, and some of the teas require less steeping, such as green, so they don't become bitter. I'll check with your tea master so that you understand exactly how to brew each different type, and you can get the most benefit. Again, trying to capture the essential oils, and sometimes covering your teas is a good idea, correct?
Correct, yeah, and it's all about time and temperature. When you're using loose teas, there is an art, but it's not complicated at all. We actually give brewing cards to anyone that's been drinking tea forever, or this is their first time, And it's very simple to be able to brew tea, and you're correct. Black tea brews differently from than green tea, than oolong, or a pu'er tea. And that's what's critical is time and temperature.
Got it. We are out of time, Julie. Very quickly, where can our listeners go for more information about tea?
Well, they can come to the store, and we're located at Rookwood Commons, but we also have a website, www.spiceandtea.com, and look at the Cincinnati. And we also are on Facebook, and that's where we have a lot of information about our events, including tea meetups, taste and learns that we do, cooking with tea, and we do a lot of events in-house as well as also outside of the store.
Well, thank you so much. And Julie, you just be looking for me very soon in my hat, my boa, and gloves, because I'm coming to your store to get some more.
We'll be happy to see you.
I'd like to wrap up our show with the quote of the week, and this is from Audrey Hepburn, who went to be with the Lord in 1993, an actress and a humanitarian. And I quote, "Remember, if you ever need a helping hand, it's at the end of your arm. As you get older, remember you have another hand. The first is to help yourself, and the second is to help others," end quote. And doesn't that just sound like something she would say? Thanks to our guest, Julie Van Arsdale from the Spice and Tea Exchange in Cincinnati, and please, drink more tea. This is your host, Dr. Kathy Rosenbaum of RX Integrative Solutions. You're invited to go to my website at rxintegrativesolutions.com for a free library of health-related articles that I've written just for you. Please tune in again next week at this same time to hear Dr. Lauren Fetter, author and physician and naturopathic, homeopathic, wonderful person, talking about her book, Natural Baby and Childcare. I'd like to do a special shout out and hello to our listeners in Puyallup, Washington tonight, and tell them they, as well as all of my dear listeners, are loved. Blessings and good night.
The views and discussion expressed on this program are for general information only and do not necessarily represent those of the host of the program or that of Faith and Friends Radio, its staff, and management. Please contact your healthcare provider for specific professional advice on these topics.
Thank you for being a part of our discussion today. Please join Dr. Kathy Rosenbaum each Friday, 6 p.m., on Faith and Friends Radio for your holistic health.